Blog Talk Radio.
This is Luis, man. There's this show, and it's really cool because, you know, it's called, like, Keeping It Real. You know, they talk, like, a lot of geek stuff, but, you know, there's, like, this convention this weekend. It's, like, in San Diego. It's got really cool stuff. It's got about comics and, you know, all this other awesome stuff. But, you know, but then the thing is, though, is that, you know, they can't go because, you know, the tickets, they go on sale. But then it's, like, you know, they just really don't go on sale anymore. So it's, like, you're at your computer, and you're, like, oh, man, you know, I got, like, something coming in on Facebook Messenger. And, you know, it just, oh, man, I missed it. You know, so there's all these people having fun, and you're watching all the cool videos. And, you know, it's kind of like the time I tried to get tickets to, you know, Pitbull, and I couldn't get it because, you know, my mom was, like, screaming and going, hey, are you busy that weekend? Because, you know, your abuelo, it's his birthday and stuff. And just, which really sucks, man, you know. But hey, you know, I heard that they talk like a lot of cool movies and stuff. So they're gonna talk about my man Scotty, how he had like a sequel, and like you hear this hot babe, you know, she got like her own costume and stuff, you know, and it's all just really cool.
Okay, that's enough, Luis. Or was it me? I'm not telling you. Was it Eduardo M. Fryer, your wonderful host, doing his impression of Michael Pena's awesome character from Ant-Man and Wasp? I don't know. Was it? Patricia, what do you think? Was that me? Or was that actually Luis?
Hard to tell, isn't it?
I'll be dealing with you later. But yes, tis I, Eduardo M. Fryer, your multi-talented and wonderful host, and I am here with two wonderful ladies. I am here with, of course, my wonderful, beautiful wife, Patricia. Hi, Trish.
Hey.
I'd give you a hug right now, but I can't. We're in two separate rooms. Oh, the wait, me sad. And also, joining us again from the Disney podcast, I'm beginning to think that you may be wanting to defect, is Victoria. Victoria, how you doing?
Hello. I'm
how you
doing?
Great. Do you need asylum? Do you need asylum? Should we just, you know, say that
she's... Oh, do not get me in trouble with my other guys. Come on.
I think that means that she needs help. You know, we should just be saying sorry. She is requesting political asylum. All right, we've granted it. She came over the border. Okay, no, we're not doing an extradition treaty. Sorry, Michael Beck, sorry. She's ours now.
We're just going to have to share.
Yeah, we're just going to have to, you know, we can sit down. We'll iron out a treaty, okay? I promise you my requirements will be very fair. Okay, but yeah, we're gonna have to iron out a treaty then.
Okay, that works for me.
Yeah. There. Okay. See, there you go. See. Yeah. Why can't real life end up like this? See, that's very quick. Okay. You know, she's happy.
Honey,
I'm happy.
Use logic,
we're all happy.
And intelligence. It doesn't work in real life.
Oh. That's shit. True. Did I do that again? Trish, you have to tell me to stop that. I keep trying not to do that. You don't stop me. Darn it. Okay. I hate it when I start thinking. Darn.
I know.
Darn
you
it.
Can't do that in the same age. I think it's against law.
I used my brain. Oh, no. I brained. Oh, darn. Okay. All right. That's it. Oh, geez. Okay. All right. You know what? Got to put in one of Adam Sandler's like lesser movies. That'll kill some brain cells.
Oh, there
okay,
you go.
Yeah. There you go. Let's do that. You know, let's put in some of Rob Schneider's starring stuff. That'll do
oh,
the trick
no,
right
please.
Away.
Oh, no, please. No. Not Rob. No.
You think that's too far?
I think that's going too far. I don't think I can handle that tonight.
Okay. Well, no, that's for me. That's for me, so I don't use my brain.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, you can do that
me.
All you want, honey. Just don't include me in that
oh,
one.
Oh, okay. Oh, thank you. That's great. There you go. There you go. See, you know, I'm, you know, great. I'm all, you know, I'm all set to say, yeah, maybe it is too far, but then you're here like, no, keep going, you know, and poor Trish is going to walk in the room. There's like, you know, there's Deuce Bigelow playing, and I'm like on the floor with this vacant stare and drool coming out of my mouth, and I'm just like, I can't do the thing because my brain hurts.
Ugh.
And she's just going to be like just wailing and just going.
Listen,
no,
there are some
no.
movies, okay, or even good, as a Saturday Night Live sketch. They have no place being a movie.
Yeah. I'm going to use that as a segue to get into our main topic, which today is, of course, a review of Ant-Man and the Wasp, the latest offering from the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the sequel to Ant-Man, starring Paul Rudd as the title character. Of course, yeah, he hasn't just been sitting idle since the first movie. He's shown up and he showed up out of his outside his own little franchise. And what movie did he appear in, Trish?
Huh? Who? What?
What other movie did Paul Rudd don the ant suit for Marvel? Because yeah, he was in Ant-Man. But what other movie did Ant-Man show up in?
So wasn't it Civil War?
Yep, he showed up in Civil War. Actually,
wow,
surprised people. Yep, you're good. You're good. You're good. You get okay. You've got points on the board, Trish. there you go. There's a little bit of my Trebek. So yeah, he showed up in Civil War. He was mentioned in Infinity War, but yeah, why didn't he show up actually in person in Infinity War? Vicky, why wasn't he in Infinity War?
Well, if I understood correctly, the Ant-Man and Wasp movie was basically at the same time as the Infinity War, and he had that lovely little anklet on his brace on his leg that he would, you know, you kind of notice if you went to, say, I don't know, Africa.
Yep, yep. See, it was explained in Infinity War that Ant-Man, that Scott Lang and Hawkeye, both after Civil War, cut a deal, and they were placed under house arrest. Because, yeah, Hawkeye and Ant-Man were just two of the heroes that sided with Captain America against the Sokovia Accords. So,
yes.
They're
the ones that had families and kids.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. Hawkeye's got the lady from Freaks and Geeks and the Scooby-Doo movies and their kids. And, yeah.
Yeah.
Scott Lang had little Casey, who, I'm sorry, she's just adorable. She is.
Oh,
I think she's just adorable.
We need to keep seeing her for a while.
Oh, yeah. Well,
yeah,
not to mention, I mean, just the fact that, like, see, usually when you have the child character, it's like, oh, God. Oh, no. 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 Oh, God. Oh, God. But, yeah, but no, she's great. You know, she's perfect, you know. And, yeah, in the comics, you do have Casey actually, she's like more in her teens, and she has her own superhero identity. She borrowed some of the Pym, the patented Pym particles, and became a side-changing hero named Stature. And, you know, I've seen my share of, you know, comments on the internet. It's like, man, but I want Stature. But you know what? I'm happy with young Casey right now. I'm good. I'm good, although...
It works with
although,
the story.
Yeah, yep. And actually, we, you know, speaking of Stature, we might get into that later, because there is a way that maybe we're going to have our cake and eat it too. So, but that's a little later. I mean, right now, I think as far as Ant-Man and Wasp is concerned, the first thing, though, is after Infinity War, this is kind of a little bit of a breath of fresh air, because, you know, don't correct me if I'm wrong, but this is a pretty happy movie. This is like a fun movie. This is not much of a downer, is it?
Well,
no,
not really.
Yeah, like I said, there's a bit of a.
Yeah,
sorry.
I can think of one part that's a downer.
Let's get to. I mean, yeah, it's okay. All right. And I had just thought of this actually just right now, because I was just thinking of the fact that, okay, so another movie in the another movie or pair of movies that's been described as, like, you know, probably the most fun of the Marvel stuff is the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. And I'm thinking of the first Guardians of the Galaxy, because before we get to the opening credits, we've got that flashback to Peter Quill as a kid, and there's his mom dying of cancer. So it's like, yeah, Guardians is a fun movie, but we kind of have that little piece in the beginning that's like, oh damn, kid's mom.
But isn't
is
that kind of like how real life is? You know, even if you're even in a comedy, you have to have a little drama to kind of spice it up, and vice versa, because straight comedy, straight drama, it can get boring after a while, because life isn't like that.
Yeah. Although the reason I bring up Guardians is because I'm thinking of the beginning of Ant-Man and Wasp, because we have a flashback to when Janet Van Dyne disappeared into the quantum realm. So it's like Ant-Man and Wasp. It's like, okay, we got to be reminded of the fact that Hope's mommy disappeared in the 80s because, well, you can't go subatomic. So once again, we have Marvel showing off the face, you know, the little facial youthful technology. This time we got Michael Douglas and Michelle Pfeiffer getting a little bit of a facelift. And I don't know. I kind of
But I think hers was like, easier to do than his. He had a lot of wrinkles. She actually is not that bad.
Definitely. Although I'll give Michael Douglas as Hank Pym a bit of a break, because his character is supposed to be, you know, his character hasn't had it really well for the past 20 some odd years. I mean, if we're going to be honest here, you know, he is kind of dealing with not having a wife, probably because it may have kind of sort of been his fault. You know, I mean, he was the one that said, hey, honey, why don't we work together and we'll work for this spy agency? You know, it'll be really cool. We'll have these suits that can shrink and, you know, look awesome, and you'll get a pair of wings. So, yeah, he may feel just a twinge of responsibility, teeny bit.
Well,
so, yeah,
it's interesting because I see with the movies, you know, they leave out one crucial storyline, because it's kind of hard to say. For those familiar with the Hank Pym story in the comic books, the constant shrinking before he gets the stabilizing forces, he actually kind of loses his mind. And there's a whole series of Ant-Man and Wasp comic books about domestic violence and how he treated his wife when he lost his mind. They couldn't figure out how to really fit that in the movie, but they kind of allude to it. So, yes, he definitely had a hard life on so many
different levels. Yeah, and I've actually, you know, see, because the thing is, I've read, like, the first, you know, The thing about Hank's, like, comic history is I read the comic, which actually had the domestic violence, and that was – I mean, not to downplay domestic violence, but, you know, he did start having mental issues. It did start to affect him mentally, but, you know, the thing is that this wasn't – we're not talking – you know, it was one time where – he lost his temper and swung out at her. And it's like – and the thing is, though, is that it was – I mean, yeah, again, I am not trying to – you know, I'm not trying to make light of domestic violence. It's a horrible thing.
But you're pointing out that it's an aberration.
But the thing – yeah, exactly. Like, it was an aberration. And the thing I don't – the thing that I don't like is that his comic persona, that is now – that's now marked him. You know,
that's
now
true.
When people think of Hank Pym, the comic character, like, oh, yeah, wasn't he the one that smacked the Wasp around? And it's like nothing else. You know, nothing else matters. And it's something that keeps getting brought up either by the fandom or by writers, too. And I'm just like, damn it. You know, now it's like the character can't do anything because he's, you know, you can't do anything with the character because he's got to be the guy that can't control his mind. You know,
but
in my thought process,
I see it as a story of redemption because, okay, he has this aberration in his life, and then he becomes so much more and so much better. And truly, you know, I think every hero needs a little redemption because you can't just be good all the time. It's not possible. Even Captain America knows that. And I actually really like the character because I've seen him with his ups and his downs, and I really respect that as a person and as someone who actually works with domestic violence on a day-to-day basis as my job. So I actually really like that story arc, and to be honest, it was never really well fleshed out or talked out, and you're right, it's kind of like this weird blip that everyone thinks about when they think Hank Pym, but...
I mean, that said, I mean, I do notice they really haven't, they really didn't touch that with Hank's movie persona, and I'm glad. Like, I really am. I'm really glad because then we can tell, you know, we can go on and let's, you know, let's find something else. Let's actually find something else to give the character other than just, oh, yeah, the wife beater.
Right.
You know, and in here it's more, I mean, yeah, here he does feel guilt, but it's a little, I think a little less direct. You know, it's more, you know, it's more the,
and
I gave the keys to the...
And I think that's easier to deal with in a two-hour movie.
Yeah, well, in a couple of movies, yeah.
Yeah, you had a couple of movies, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, we have
I did actually hear a Comic-Con talk from a few years back where they talked about starting with the Rudd as opposed to the Douglas, simply because Hank Pym's story is marred. And how do you start with that one and have people go rooting for him if, yes, all they do is think about him as, oh, but he hit his wife.
Yeah.
He's more than that.
Yep.
The story is more than that. And I think it does a disservice to both the story and to real domestic violence because don't make anything one-dimensional. I think that's one of the things I like about the Marvel Universe is they're kind of fleshing these things out a little bit.
Yeah, no. Here's the, but yeah, I, now of course, also I think in the realm of fleshing out, Hope actually got, you know, got some more stuff to do. I mean, hell, she's the Wasp in the title, Ant-Man and the Wasp. Although, yeah, we could say that an argument could be made that that could also refer to Hank and Janet. But, okay, as a huge comic geek, just the thought, I mean, when the Marvel movies were still, like, all being created, just the thought of having the Avengers live action on screen, I was just like, yes, do it, make it happen. And, you know, I remember hearing that we were, you know, there were plans to have the Wasp show up as early as the first Avengers movie. And for whatever reason that, you know, I guess they had too many characters, they didn't want to introduce yet somebody else in, you know, when the Avengers got together. So, you know, I waited patiently. And then, you know, at the end, you know, when you had that end credits sequence in the first Ant-Man, and you saw the Wasp suit, I'm like, oh, yeah, yes. And then finally just seeing her in act. Well, first of all, there's her in action, quote-unquote, rescuing Hank from, you know, from his house arrest. You know, and then just seeing her with the suit on when she's fighting Walter Goggins' character, Sonny Birch, when she's facing Sonny Birch and his goons, oh, I'm in heaven. I was in nerd heaven. I'm like, wow. I just, like, a part of me wishes I had a time machine and I could pull, like, my younger self from the past and go, oh, by the way, here, I'm going to show you something. Do you see that? Live action Wasp. And just watch him lose it. Like, I would just be like, see, look, this is what the future holds. This is what the future holds, my younger self. This is coming. Because I know I would just be like, oh, man, I can't wait. When is this happening? 2018. Shoot, I got to wait 20 years. It's okay. Or I got to wait 25 years. Or I got to wait 30 years. It's like, that's okay, because she's coming. But, Trish, you are the non-comic book person here. What is your reaction to Hope in costume as a superhero?
She's pretty badass. She looks good. Yeah. Just like,
she could have held the whole movie herself. Nothing against against Ant-Man or Paul Rudd or anybody. I mean, he's awesome too. But you know, in reality, she could have held the whole movie herself.
Now, would you have, okay, so again, Trish, since she's the non-comic here, so you would have actually, so if Marvel was to go, 2021, Wasp, you would go see it with just her, like, in the lead?
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, there we go. There we go. See, this is one of the reasons why I love having my wife on, because even though we're talking comic book stuff and she's not a comic book geek, I know that if she likes it, something's being done right. Because if we like it, if we the comic fans like it, and a non-fan likes it, it's like, yes, you've done it. Marvel, you've done it. Here's my money. I know you have a lot of it, but here's some more. It's okay. It's okay. Yes, you can keep taking my money. If you're doing a good job with this, here, keep taking it. It's okay. It's okay. Wait, let me save that because I do have to eat, okay? You have to give me some money for food. Okay, but yeah, you can take the rest of this. This is fine. Yeah, no, definitely. Definitely, definitely. Yeah, I know that there was another. It's interesting because, of course, we have Hank. We have Scott coming back. We've got Hope filling in as the Wasp. We even have the classic Wasp and Janet. You know, she shows up and, you know, I mean, okay, yeah, mild spoiler, but you know what? If you haven't gotten used to it by now with this show, it's too late here, children, okay? Because, yeah, when we do a movie review, we do it a couple of, you know, like a few weeks out, and, yeah, we drop spoilers because, you know what, enough time has gone by. So, yeah. yeah, of course, you know, end of the film, you know, they do rescue Janet, and, you know, got to say that, and although, actually, is it just me, or could it also kind of qualify as Janet saving Hank? Because, I mean, he was starting to lose it in the quantum realm. I mean, I think maybe we could even just argue that really Hank was acting as a microscopic Uber, just like picking her up from the quantum realm, and she was the one that did the rescuing. Microscopic Uber.
Well, you know, on an interesting note, if you're familiar with the female astronaut program back in the 60s that later got cut, they were finding consistently that women could handle the physiological and the emotional and mental tests overall than any guy. So it makes sense that Janet would be able to deal with it and keep her sanity better than her husband, with what we know from real life space acuity tests.
Ooh, wow,
that is
interesting. Yeah, no, sorry, I got to remember about the mute button. But I was gonna say, Victoria, that's awesome. That is an awesome factoid. I mean, I remember hearing about the program that got cut in the 60s, but I did not know about that.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa,
yes.
See,
there
we go.
There's a couple of great books on it, and it's one of the things that I really like. It started a little bit in the 60s, and then in the 70s. We start to see these female superheroes becoming far more than their two-dimensional origins. You had a couple of characters that always seemed to be really great and really fleshed out, but there was sometimes both Marvel and DC just went a little crazy with 5,000 different characters, and you know, some of them you never saw again after one episode. But I just I have to agree with Patricia that I so enjoyed watching Wasp 1 and Wasp 2 that I would love to see a badass movie with these two women. And you could still see a little bit, and I don't know how much of it's CGI, but I couldn't help when I was watching Michelle Pfeiffer and holding her own, and I'm thinking, see, Catwoman still got it.
Oh, we're going old school with some Tim Burton. Whoa, nice.
Well, someone who's approaching
nice
50,
one.
I love the fact that there is still a kick-ass woman out there who is more than 20 years old. So.
Yeah. Well, I think Sigourney Weaver is still kicking ass, like in recent times.
Yes.
I mean, she kicked ass in Galaxy Quest, and she even did a little bit of ass kicking in the movie Paul.
Yes.
If anybody remembers. Because, yeah, I mean, didn't she? I think she kicked Simon Pegg around, didn't she?
Oh, but that must be so much fun.
Ow.
I love Simon Pegg, but it's kind of fun watching him get beat up in general. I don't know why.
Ow.
He does it so well.
Ow. Ow. Ow.
Hey, knowing
Ow.
The fact that he writes most of the stuff where he gets beat up, I'm okay with it. So.
Okay, all right. Okay, kind of hard to argue with that one.
Hey, he
writes
it that way, you know, clearly.
Yeah.
He knows his strengths.
Okay, all right. I can't. Trish, help, I can't argue. I can't argue with that.
Well, neither can
man.
I.
Yeah. Oh, man. But, oh, geez. You know what? And actually, you know what? Since we're on the track, okay, since we're talking kick-ass females, I think we got to mention Ghost. You know, she
yes.
would be, I would think she kind of, the previews and the trailers set her up as the main antagonist. Really, though, I mean, she kind of, they said this in interviews as the movie was coming out, and I kind of have to agree, I mean, do we really kind of call her the villain of the piece? I mean, would you say that's kind of fair? Yeah. I mean, she's definitely the antagonist, but I don't know if I'd use the word villain.
Could you imagine being in pain every day of your life, starting as a child, and what that would do to your psyche? Your parents have been killed, you have been injured, and every breath she takes is painful. The fact that she wasn't a full-blown, huge villain out to take out everybody is actually kind of surprising. And I love the way that at first you're like, oh, she's a bad guy. And then you're like, oh, but I feel for her. And by the end of the movie, you're like, God, I really like that character.
Yep. Yep. Yeah.
I agree
no, you
on
actually
that.
Feel, I mean, yeah, she is kind of, you know, she is kind of willing to go to an extreme and be like, okay, I'm just going to kill this Janet person because, I can use her energy to heal myself.
Yeah.
I mean, she is kind of willing to go there, but, you know, it's like, I think of the other, you know, I think of like the other recent kind of, you know, recent spat of Marvel villains, because I think of like Thanos and I think of Killmonger from Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, even like Magneto in the X-Men movies, where it's like, once again, although in a different kind of tangent, the villain has a point, you know, in the case of Ghost, that she's been used and abused, and she's just trying to heal herself. The thing is that in her, like, the other three have kind of just decided that the only reaction, you know, the only way to get justice is, you know, like with Killmonger and Magneto, it's, well, I'm part of an oppressed minority, so I'm going to fuck you all up. And, because you deserve it because you fucked up my people. And then Thanos is just like, well, you know, we got an overpopulation problem, so, I'm going to kill off 50% of the population. But, hey, good news, 50% that's still alive, there's going to be more resources. That's awesome, right?
Yeah.
I'm a cool guy, right? Hello? Why are you crying over your? Why are you crying over your best friend that I snapped my fingers and he disintegrated? Why are you crying? You're supposed to be happy. But, well, you know what? Eventually you'll thank me. But yeah, Ghost. It's just like, hey, look.
Yeah,
the
superiority complex gets you every time.
Yep, exactly. But I mean, with Ghost, it's kind of like, you know, hey, I'm in pain. This will help the pain go away. Why the fuck is that a problem? Can I not have pain from my powers? So yeah, that's. that's kind of the same thing where it's, you know, it's not, you know, her nobility, while it's a little bit more personal, there's still that sense of, well, yeah, she got the bum rush. She got, you know, she did get kind of screwed over here. So, you know, once again, it's like, well, she's not, you know, the evilness is kind of more just, you know, the actions they take based
right.
than rather mindset.
I just found it fascinating in both in when I read the comic books and now with the MCU, the movies, one of the things that it feels like is everything's a choice. And you're looking at these people who we're calling good and we're calling bad. And in the case of Civil War, well, they're both good, they're both bad. Hold it, what? It's the fact that everything in life is a choice. And you can
yep.
choose to take the pain that you've been given and become evil or use it for the betterment of people. Now, those are two extremes of the same coin. But I always really love that about comic books is that you could have two people from the same crappy life. One of them chooses to become the superhero. The other one chooses to become the supervillain. And
right.
I find that
right.
fascinating.
Or even, you know, something else that I find fascinating, and I haven't seen this so much with Marvel, but DC, especially in their comics, has done this, kind of focusing on somebody who did take the wrong path, but
uh-huh.
they really kind of don't do it out of malice, and really they just kind of, you know, it's like I think of the Flash's villains, the Rogues, that really they're just like, you know what, if I could rob like this one bank and get away with like, you know, a cool few million, then, you know, I'm just going to go to freaking Aruba and I'm just going to, you know, spend all my time
right.
drinking, you know, drinking Mai Tais and hanging out with the island girls. Like, it's one of those things that they're not about being, you know, I am going to so fuck you up. It's just, hey, man,
right.
you know, I'm just robbing this thing, nothing personal, you know. Like, you know, even that, where it's
yeah.
like they're not, you know, they're on the wrong side of the tracks, but they're not like, you know, completely malevolent.
They're
you know, it's like they're not going to go out of their way to hurt
evil.
Somebody. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. But, you know, it's something, though. I mean, I've been familiar, like, I don't know, like, how much did you, Vicky, how much did you know
yeah.
about the character of Ghost before Ant-Man and Wasp?
Hardly at all, because I think that character was kind of after my time. But I do understand from what I've learned is that it was very different from the Ghost of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, for one thing, the movie did a gender swap. Because Ghost is a man
yeah.
in the books. Yeah. And much more of kind of started off kind of as industrial saboteur. And then morphed into kind of an anti-corporate. Associated with Iron Man than any other Marvel character. So kind of started off as a recurring villain in Iron Man. And then here's the part that's like, whoa, this is like another level as far as villains. There was a story with Ghost teaming up with another Iron Man villain, Spymaster, taking on Tony Stark. Both of them were actually kind of rivals for the same gig, which was kill Tony, but they ended up having to team up. And, you know, end of the fight, they both had to retreat. Since Ghost can walk through walls, instead of it being a superpower, it's more of a function of the suit that he wears. He kind of had a separate little doohickey for passing through walls, put it on Spymaster and said, oh, hey, let's retreat. Here, I'll help you. Kind of shoved him halfway through the wall and then went over and removed the device from Spymaster. So poor Spymaster died because he materialized right inside a wall. But that was pretty much Ghost going, yeah, so pretty much that was him going, you thought we were friends in this? Nope. Bye. I'm taking this back, by the way. So, yeah, that was how, like, see, I mean, yeah, when you talk about, like, you know, evil, yeah, the comic book Ghost had some pretty evil stuff in his, you know, in his resume. I think another time he actually trapped Tony Stark in his armor and had it out of phase. So so Tony couldn't react, wasn't solid. Basically, the idea being, okay, well, you can't touch anything and you're going to starve to death. Have a nice day.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, talking
to
Yeah,
that definitely would qualify as an evil villain. I think I like the version better.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, as far as I know, she didn't. As far as I remember, she didn't kill somebody by having them rematerialize, like smack in the middle of a wall. Unless, I don't know, I didn't go to the bathroom during the movie, did I, Trish?
I don't think so.
No, I didn't miss
someone
that.
Was stuck in between a ceiling, but they were still alive.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't seem to remember her killing anybody by doing that. But now, we do talk about the ghost. But I think also we got to, and yeah, slight spoiler, we do have to also talk about her benefactor, Bill Foster, played by Lawrence Fishburne, which, yeah, having him jump from DC to Marvel, it's like, whoa, wait a minute, I thought that was Perry White. Oh, wait, we got him now? Cool.
Well, we had him earlier. He was the Silver Surfer voice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there we go. Well, we kind of had him earlier. I mean, it wasn't MCU, but yeah,
right.
He was in a Marvel movie earlier. But yeah, he actually got to physically act. Didn't just have to sit in front of a microphone and let Doug Jones borrow his voice for a movie. We did. I forgot about the Silver Surfer thing. I think it's because I'm waiting for the Disney-Fox deal to finalize, because it's like, I want my MCU Fantastic Four. Damn it!
Yeah, one of these centuries. I'm just not even going to hold my breath anymore. I'm just going to – one of these days they're going to say, okay, now we're finished. It's done. And we're going, okay, great, finally. I'll have grandchildren by then.
Yeah, no, well, probably.
I'm sorry.
I mean, at this rate. but, yeah, Bill will – Well, here's another question. Vicky, are you familiar with comic book Bill Foster? Do you know he's from the comics?
I believe so. But I think that was my X-Men phase, I think. I don't know, it's hard because some of these names, they mean one thing in one version of the comics, and then they mean someone completely different 10 years later, and so I sometimes get myself confused.
You know, that's okay because I don't know if it's easier or harder because as of right now in the comics, Bill Foster's dead.
Then.
Like in the comics, he did well. The thing that the movie did use is that He did use the name Goliath for a while. He did borrow Hank Pym's Pym particles, and he was a superhero. A little okay, not quite PC. Is the fact that when he first was a superhero, he was called Black Goliath.
That sounds about right. Late '60s, early '70s, maybe.
About the '70s. He like the first time he showed up. He was a scientist who was helping Hank Pym, because I think Hank had Hank was having problems with his formula, and Bill Foster came in and said, okay, let me give you a hand. We'll fix the formula so you can get back to normal size. Then like in the '70s or so, he borrowed the stuff and started calling himself Black Goliath. There was a bit there where kind of still was doing the size changing thing, but borrowed one of Hank Pym's names, called himself Giant Man. I think like a little over a decade ago, he went back to superheroing after being retired for a while, called himself Goliath. And then, in the comic book version of Civil War, he got killed by a robot clone of Thor that drove a lightning bolt into his chest.
Wow.
Yep. He was like the big death in the Civil War miniseries. He was kind of like that. That moment was kind of the moment of, whoa, holy shit. Okay, this just got real. Wait a minute. And you kind of had both sides going, whoa, hold it. yeah, this is not going to end pretty. This may end ugly. So yeah, I know that I actually have a comic that introduced Bill's nephew. I want to say, I think it's his nephew Tom, and he's picking up the mantle of Goliath. So yeah, I don't know. Here's something. I mean, now was anybody okay? Trish, you don't have.
Yeah.
All right. The movie was your first intro to Bill Foster. I think before the movie came out, I told you that he was a comic book character, right? Like, I did explain that.
I honestly don't remember.
Yeah, I probably did. I probably did.
Eddie, you know, you talk so much about comics that I don't remember.
Yeah, no, that is
okay.
True. That is true. You know what? That is okay. That's something that I will. Okay, I'm going to take the hit for that. Yeah, I do. A lot of times I do talk about comics. And, you know, sometimes I just can't, you know, I do have to remember that you're not going to remember all of it. And, you know, that's fine. That's,
yeah.
That is fine, though. That is fine, though, because, you know what? There are other things I love you for. You don't have to remember all this weird comic book shit. Hell, there's some of this I remember that I'm like, how the fuck? You know, there's some comic book stuff that I remember, and I'm like, how the fuck do I remember that?
Like some women, they pretend to
like
sports. You know, they pretend to like sports to impress the guys and stuff. And I've never, you know, pretended that I've liked comic books just to impress you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Besides, we already have stuff that we mutually like. So, you know, there's no need for that. And again this is why she's my wife, Lisa.
Everything together.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Although,
Eddie doesn't
although
like
hey,
idea.
Hope.
I can.
There you go. Exactly.
I'm not going to make him go watch the new movie. So yeah.
Thank you. Although please let me know if they somehow slip in an apology by Pierce Brosnan for fucking up the song SOS. Let me know if they somehow manage that, please, because he needs to apologize for that shit.
You know, he's so cute, I think I'm just going to overlook his singing.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Sorry. If you're going to accuse him of doing a bad job, you got to accuse a lot of other people in that movie, because there were some
Amen.
People that were way worse than him.
Okay. All right. You know what? No, that's fair.
I'm sorry.
I love
Colin Firth to death. Colin Firth actually shares a birthday with us, Eddie, but that man cannot sing, and he should never sing. He should just sit there and look pretty.
Ouch. That wasn't me talking. That was actually somebody who finds him like thoroughly attractive, and he's on your list of British people you would hit, isn't he?
He's in my top five. Yeah. Okay. Well.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? That's fair. And I can't.
Yep.
You know. Ever since seeing him in Valmont, I'm like, yeah, I can't argue. I could, it would be useless, so I'm not going to. I won't. Yeah, I'm just gonna be Don Quixote, tilting the windmill. Yeah, so I'm not gonna do that. Not gonna tilt that windmill. Oh.
Hey, sometimes
anyway, you were gonna ask
me
something, right?
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
I was gonna say, because I mean, you did okay. So yeah, I probably did mention Bill Foster, but you know, you probably didn't remember, which is fine. But when we saw Bill Foster, like whether it was in the previews or in the actual movie itself, at any point were you thinking that he was going to do a little bit of size changing himself?
I thought he was because he, you know, had said that he had done it before, so. You know, I assumed that it would happen, and he'd be saying something like, "Oh, it's been a long time," you know, or, "Oh,
yep.
You know, finally back into this." Yeah, I don't know.
Yep. Actually, if anything, I thought for a second at the end of the
finally
movie
I'm
when they're
my dick.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Or as I think Hope. Yeah. I think Hope put it herself. I think Hope herself when she says, "If you guys are done comparing sizes."
That was fun.
Yeah, that was a great that by the way was a great example of like a line that they had in the previews that I'm glad stayed in the film. I'm like, oh good, that wasn't just in the previews. Thank you. That was great. I mean, even I had to laugh at that. I'm like, yeah, they're doing it. I'll admit it. Yeah. I'm a guy. I'll admit it. Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. Yeah, I'm not gonna try and lie for them. Yeah, they were comparing. I was kind of hoping for it. Actually, where I thought it would happen is the end of the film when they're trying to get Scott back to his house and, you know, kind of get around the FBI. You have Agent Wu, like, you know, he thinks he sees Scott, like, up against the building. I kind of thought for a second when the suit shrank down that it would open up and, like, there's Bill Foster inside it. You know, I thought that, like, that's the way they'd get around, all this talk of Ant-Man being around. You know, I thought it would be Bill Foster would kind of take a hit for the team and, you know, kind of say, oh, no, I've been Ant-Man this entire time. But, yeah, didn't happen. You know, instead we get Bill and Ghost kind of running off on their own while Hank, Janet, and Hope get Scott back home, which, I'm sorry, the giant ant in his house while, doing his house arrest for him. That was just, I liked it. I was like, wow, that's just hilarious. I actually have to admit something though. When they showed the shot of the ant in the drum set, like in all the previews, I thought that was the giant ant from the first movie. Because remember, in the first movie, there was a giant, one of the ants. Yeah, one of the ants got enlarged, and as of the end of the movie, Casey was kind of using it. Yeah, Casey was kind of using it as a doggy. I thought maybe that's what that was. I mean, it still could have been. Like, I can imagine maybe Hope, like, you know, snuck into
it
Hope
could be.
Into. Yeah, I mean, she, you know, Hope could have snuck into Casey's house, grabbed the ant, and then, you know, gone over to Scott Lang's. So, you know, they could have found out. I mean, Hope and Hank are not, you know, Hope and Hank are smart people. Which by the way, I love the toy carrying case with all the little miniaturized cars.
Yeah, that was so great.
I mean, that was just awesome. It's
that was really
I kind of won. You know, oh yeah. Yeah, I mean, hell, I wish
now
I
you
had
something
need,
very
not,
similar
now
to
now
that in
me.
The 70s.
Yeah.
What we need now is a Star Wars carrying case with the actual, like, armor and ships that can become full size like that. That'd be cool.
Oh, that would be so great.
Yeah. Well.
I'll pay for that, yeah.
Hang on. Hang on, because doesn't our friend Mike Ford, Trish, doesn't his brother have a vintage Star Wars case?
Uh-huh.
That's exactly
what made me think of it.
Okay,
exactly
all right, okay.
That was
so
funny
when
you saw that sitting there and you just picked it up and you were like, oh, wow, look at this case. And then you unscrewed it. You didn't think you would find anything. And then you open it and it's totally full of vintage figures. And you're like,
yep.
I thought you were going to have to your pants.
Oh, no, I was, you know what, we spoke all about good and evil.
You were just getting giddy.
Oh, man, no, but we were talking about good and evil, right? We were talking about good and evil earlier. See, if I was, like, evil, then I would just be like, okay, so we're going to knock everybody out in this house, and then we're going to go and take this case and make mad money on eBay.
I would
like my retirement
it.
Fund is here.
Oh, I still keep it. I don't care.
Your
retirement's overrated.
Yeah. I just wanna have a nice nest egg so I can get the man off my back. Get the man off my back to stop taking my money. Want to give my money to worthy causes like visiting the Mouse House and writing Guardians Mission Breakout. Sweet. Still need to do that. Still need to do that. Do that one day. One day. One day soon. Right, Trish?
Yes.
We'll make plans. We'll make plans. We will ride Mission Breakout. And we will take and we will take people on a nacho crawl. I know. I'm supposed to be eating healthier, but you know what? One day. Just one day in the park, I gotta do a nacho crawl. One day. That'll be my
Oh,
that
sounds like
fun. Oh yeah. Aren't
oh,
you
yeah.
going, Vicky? You're going in a few weeks.
Yeah, I'm gonna go the last week of August. And it'll be my husband and me.
Oh, nice.
It'll be the first time we're not taking my son. We're not taking any nieces, nephews, goddaughters, sisters, brothers. Just the two of us. We've been married 20-odd years, and I think we're in 27 now. I've lost count. Don't tell them that. And it's like, no, just the two of us. It's kind of weird, though. But I've got a whole list of things that, okay, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. Well, let's try that, you know?
It's so much easier with two people, I'm telling you. Oh, it's,
yes,
yeah.
I usually go with groups.
Oh.
And I both love it, but, you know, I don't know, this might be fun. And I think about all the things that I can do, and I don't have to listen to anyone else's opinion, because my husband's favorite answer is whatever you want, honey. He does not argue with me in the house and out. He knows if he just goes along for the ride, he'll have fun.
Eddie's kind of like that, too, because he knows me. He knows that when I plan a Disney trip,
yeah,
it's going to be on.
Exactly.
Well, and, of course,
why
well, and if we're in Walt, well, and Trish, if we're in Walt Disney World, then
yes.
I know that I at least get to ride one ride that I really want to do if we're going to be in Walt Disney World. And which one is that?
Carousel of Progress. Yes, I sit through that.
Exactly,
for you.
Exactly.
Oh,
it would be, okay.
Cool.
Okay. All right. Now, okay, little. I mean, yeah, it would actually be Carousel of Progress and Great Movie Ride, but that Great Movie Ride is gone.
Oh.
But you
yeah.
know, but still.
But
you know,
though,
as long as I get to ride. Yeah.
Eddie does do something for me, though. He told me that he doesn't actually like roller coasters, but he did go on all of them with me, and to which I told him that's very sweet of you, but next time you don't have to ride them because there's a thing called single rider, and we could have saved so much time if I had just done that.
Okay. Yeah, but you know, it's
anyway,
you're always telling me trying new things. you're always telling me try new things, and I did. But yeah.
Yeah, Vicky, if you get
the
chance, you got to go to. You have to go to the Whitewater Snack Shack in Grand California to have their nachos.
Yep.
I've
yeah.
heard about those, and I'm like, okay.
Definitely.
So yeah, I got a whole list of things that maybe I haven't done or I've heard about recently. And it's like, okay, try that one. I'm like, shoot, we're gonna be just running 24/7. But what the hell?
Yep.
You can sleep when you get home.
Okay.
That's
back on track. Oh, geez. Back on track. Back on track. I think we did talk about the mini cars. I think we've talked about the mini cars, but something we haven't mentioned, the mobile lab. In Dr. Pym's mobile lab.
That's the greatest thing.
Oh, that is so awesome.
It.
That is so freaking awesome.
Just
that is just a
piece of carry-on luggage, carry-on building.
Oh yeah. Although I do have to say, man, I can just imagine having to take that through the security line in an airport.
Oh,
like how the hell do you explain
beep,
that?
Beep 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 beep.
Exactly. No, and just the X-ray.
Could
just
you imagine
like,
what happened?
What?
Could you imagine what happened if they swabbed it for explosives?
Oh
God. Oh jeez. Oh
well,
yeah. No, that's
man.
Too. Oh, geez. Yeah, all the energy in there would just be like, sir, can you please move aside? Yeah. Which and,
we need to inspect
geez.
Your luggage better.
What is this? What is in here? Yeah. Which kind of, it's, so I guess, yeah, which kind of makes me wonder, because like, okay, end of the film, we get a montage, you know, of what everybody's doing, and we see that Hank and Janet have kind of found a tropical hideaway. And then he brought their old house with them. He actually had a trunk down.
I gotta see it. Such a great way to move.
Oh yeah. Although I gotta wonder, it's like, okay, if they flew out there, again, getting that going through like the, I mean, was that in the, like, you gotta wonder, was the house in the checked luggage? Because if not, I mean, when they scanned the thing,
maybe
it was probably like,
maybe
it's one of those things. He got a yacht. He got like a yacht or, you know, a boat like out of the bay and like went out of San Francisco. I'm just imagining like it goes through the scanner and like they see like this little house and it's like, does he have a doll's house in his luggage? What? Yeah.
Wasn't there a secret lab in the basement of that house?
Yes, actually.
Thinking about the first movie, you know.
Yeah, there you go.
I love everything they have, but how do you get a basement for the house and still have it be flat? Just saying.
Oh, man.
I'm getting real. Let me walk backwards.
I don't know. Just think of it this way. Okay, we're dealing with comic book science. Okay?
Yes. That's right. We're back to normal.
Okay, comic book science. and I'm sure that Hank found a way to, you know, to make sure that the house can stay level anywhere. Like maybe he used technology, added some more room to the basement so that it can be level, like it can be straight on a level plane. There you go. Marvel no prize.
Answered.
Right here. Marvel no prize. Mwah. There you go. Solved it. We're done here. Conversation over. Okay? If the makers of the Ant-Man movies are listening to this, you know, if any of the brain trust of the Marvel MCU, you know, if they're listening and it's like, wait a minute, that is a plot hole. How the fuck did we figure that out? Wait, this guy just figured it out. Okay, we're using that. Yeah, guys, you can use it. It's okay. All right? You can use it. That's fine. I don't mind. I want you to use it, okay? There. Thank you. You're welcome, okay? That's a gift from me to you. Okay, all these awesome movies, all these awesome memories. Okay, this is my gift to you. Okay, no problem. Just use it. It's fine. There you go. That problem's solved. Boom. We're done. Oh, God. I need to like approach Disney and like work for the Marvel movies. I really do. I really do. Although I think
so much fun.
Oh yeah. Although I think I'm such a Marvel zombie, I'm such a Marvel geek that there's just so much I would want to do in movies that I think they'd probably like just get sick of me because it's like we can't do that. Why not? We don't have the rights. Let's get the rights. Well, what if we don't want to? What if we want to do this? No. How about bringing this character? Well, what if we don't want to bring this character? No, you got to bring them in. They're awesome.
Yeah. We've already had so much of these little switch ups because of rights issues. You know, characters coming in earlier than they did in the comics or not coming in when they're supposed to come in the comics. And I will say I appreciate with the legal entanglements they had to deal with, I think that the Marvel Studios have done a fairly good, faithful job of doing at least one of the storylines the way it was in the comic book. Or close enough. I think that they've worked really hard with the BS factor of the legalities and which is one of the things that has made it so fun. Yeah, okay, they paid homage to this bit from the comic books because there was no way they could actually do this whole storyline because it took 10 years. So I don't know. I guess that's why I really have enjoyed and I can't wait to see more from them.
Oh yeah,
I'm that one who always bitches about turning something into a movie and ruining it.
Oh yeah, oh no, for me, here's the thing. I mean, because I've developed a thick enough skin that I realize things are never going to be exactly like they were in the comics. It's just not possible. I mean, it's not possible. There has to be some give and take, you know, but. Honestly, and you know, and as far as the Marvel universe is concerned, you know, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I have to commend the job that they've done without having access to X-Men or Fantastic Four or anything attached to it. And if anything, I stand by my thought that it's been now this doesn't mean that I don't want the rights back if they have a chance to get them back. I do want them to have the rights back. I do want all the characters to be back home under the same umbrella. But the positive is that the Marvel Cinematic Universe has opened the door for characters that would have gotten ignored otherwise to really getting the spotlight. I think that Scott Lang, you know, Ant-Man, is one of those characters. Because if the Marvel Cinematic Universe from day one had like, access to Spider-Man, would we have gotten Ant-Man the movie?
Yeah.
I don't think, you know, we probably wouldn't have gotten all this stuff. We probably wouldn't have, you know, it's like, because here's the thing, and this is, okay, this is me being slightly cynical, okay? I'm just going to be a tiny bit cynical. Because the thing is that I can't
just
help.
Just a little
bit.
How is that any different than how you usually are?
Hey, you know,
that's the way your wife thinks.
Yeah. Okay. I gotta admit, but okay, just a little bit. Okay.
All right.
Little bit of geekdom cynicism here. Okay. Got a little bit of geekdom cynicism here, because unfortunately I've done too much studying into how the sausage is made, and it's like I cannot help but feel because once you get beyond the creative level. To, like, you know, the studio level, you know, the behind the closed doors and the offices, that if the Marvel Cinematic Universe had access to, like, Spider-Man from the beginning, that we wouldn't have all these, like, I hesitate to use B-list, but yeah, the B-list characters that have risen to prominence, they probably would have never had the chance, because the reaction would be, oh, why do we want to take a risk on giving this guy Ant-Man? That hangs around with bugs? No, we could just do another Spider-Man movie. Come on, he's a proven hitmaker. Yeah, why take the risk?
Right.
Whereas the fact that they did not have the rights, it's like, oh, okay, you know what? Why don't we do? Hey, look, this Ant-Man character, we've got some cool things here. You know, this guy Scott Lang is like an ex-con. You know, we could have a little redemption arc here. Yeah, let's take a risk. Hey, I think we could. I think the technology is enough that we could do some cool shrinking, growing stuff. You know, hey, let's do it. Let's roll the dice. And yeah, it came up. You know, it came up as a winner. You know, and I will admit this, that
when I first heard the name Ant-Man, my first response was, "What a stupid name! Who the hell is this?" What in the hell is
Well, we had
movie?
A lot
Why
of those in the 60s and 70s.
And
yeah.
I'm just like, it didn't make any sense. You know, why were they making this movie with this character that nobody's heard of? Of course, I didn't realize that he'd been around forever. And but it actually took me seeing the preview of it at Disneyland. And they had it in California Adventure.
Yeah. I remember
and
that.
They had it in
that.
The Bugs Life Theater, which, you know, is pretty awesome because it's in an anthill, you know, so. And in a lobby area, they actually had the Ant-Man suit in a case, you know, down there. And so,
and then, of course, we went in there and they were showing us a preview of the movie. But, of course, being the Bugs Life Theater, it was in 4D instead of just 3D. Because, you know, I mean, there's the part where he shrinks and he gets. And he's in the bathtub and getting chased by the water. And, of course, they're spraying us with water, you know, and everything. And
anytime that he's flying on the ant and the ant is flying, you can feel the wind from the wings. You know what I mean? It was really cool. And so at the end of it, I was like, okay, I want to see this now. and then we went and saw it, and it was so good. And I think one of the reasons why the Marvel movies do so well is that – if you really look at it, they're all different genres of films. It's just not the same thing every movie. And I think that's why they're so successful. Because if you look at the first Ant-Man movie, it's basically a heist movie. So,
yes.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's, yeah. It just all works. And you said before, I haven't gotten that franchise fatigue with Marvel yet.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Foreshadowing. But here's okay. So here's a question for you, Trish, since you bring it up.
Okay.
So the first Ant-Man movie is a heist movie. What genre would you say this movie was?
The rescue mission.
Ooh. So we're kind of
that's
a rescue.
That's a good point.
But not only are they rescuing Janet, but they also rescuing ghosts too.
Right.
Ooh.
There's a multiple level of rescuing. We're getting Scott back into normal life. We're getting Janet back at full size on planet Earth. We've got the ghost becoming whole and no longer in pain. We've got the reconnection of all these people who've been estranged. And, there is a lot of rescuing and redemption going on in this movie. And for it being a comedy, because it really is, they do. You don't realize until kind of you're done with the movie and you realize that you felt something. And that's not normally what you feel after a comedy. You might, this one,
it's a feel-good movie.
Oh, my God. It was a feel-good movie.
There you go. Yep. Well, no.
Well, until the final scene. But.
Ooh, yeah. But, you know. But
the end credit scene kind of took that away.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. We'll get to that in a minute. It's interesting, though, because if you think about it, of all the relationships, that need to be rescued or need to be healed, probably about the only one that didn't is Scott's relationship with his daughter. Because they're on good footing when the movie starts, and it never really loses it. I mean, hell, the daughter even forms some encouragement when she realizes that daddy's superheroing again.
They're the stable relationship in this movie. Every movie has to have some kind of relationship. Theirs is the stable one.
Yep. And by the way, I got to give kudos. Not only are Scott and Casey on good footing, but Scott's actually on good footing with his ex and her, and her husband. I actually thought that was a pleasant surprise because, I was all set for Bobby Cannavale's character to be verbally bashing Scott again. But it's they actually came to his defense every single time. Every time Jimmy Woo is like, I got you now, Scott, they're like, what is the matter with you? Why are you so OCD about busting Scott? So, I actually thought that was nice and refreshing. It's like, well, wait a minute. They're actually, friendly with each other. It's like, oh, good. So I was like, oh, good. We don't get a repeat of the first movie with Bobby Cannavale being all, Scott, you're disappointing Casey. What's wrong with you? Nope. They're friendly. It's like, wow, awesome. That's just great.
The way it
should
be.
Yep. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, exactly. Oh, boy. But, I think, have we kind of dodged things long enough? Should we just kind of deal with the elephant in the room, or in this case, the end credits scene in the room? What do you think, Trish? Should we do it?
We're running out of time.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No. Yeah. We are. Oh, geez.
This is gonna take a long time to get through.
Okay. Well, yeah. Because. So we get.
I'm just gonna start off by saying that I was mostly right.
You were.
I had predicted. I said that.
Yep.
The only one I didn't foresee being affected by Infinity War, was Wasp herself. I thought that I had said before that I thought it was going to be Hank and Janet. That.
Yep.
It'd be all happy family reunion, and then she was going to watch them go to dust, go to ashes. And I didn't think about her possibly being in that, being with them.
Basically, for those, to get a little, to give a little bit more detail. Basically, the we did have one thing that people did get upset was that the ant, the giant ant on the drum solo, that was actually an end credit scene. So we got a preview of that with all the trailers. But the thing that nobody was told about, although people guessed, and yeah, my wife
mm-hmm.
got 2/3 of this right, is yeah, the other end credit scene, the mid credits one, Scott, with the help of Pym and his family, goes back into the quantum realm. You know, now they have like a way to go back and forth, so he could get the quantum particles so they could actually help Ghost, so they could keep giving Ghost the energy she needs to live about as normal life as she can. And, well, while he's there doing his little quantum energy fishing, that is when we get to the finger snap moment that happened in Avengers Infinity War. And, yeah, the casualties for the Ant-Man cast are Hank, Janet, and Hope. All three disappeared.
Yeah.
And
this happened.
You
I was expecting
that.
One of them, but I had no idea it was going to be the three of them. That one really
threw
me.
I thought it would be what Trish said, that it would just be Hank and Janet.
Right. I thought that it would be, you know, like it would make Hope all pissed and say, oh, we got to get into this fight now. You know, we have to go after Thanos. We have to figure out a way to fix this.
Yep.
And, you know,
this
happened before they could bring Scott out of the quantum realm. So he's stuck in there floating around with seemingly no way to get out. Although I have a theory.
Yep. Well, okay. Say your theory and tell us where you got that from. Like,
where
what
I got
gave
the
you
theory
the idea
from?
That. Yes.
Well,
like, there is a line.
You said something.
Well, there was a line by
about...
Janet. There was a line by Janet.
Oh.
And that made you
okay.
think about
yeah.
how she might
right
escape.
Before Scott. Yeah, right before Scott got. Went into the quantum realm, she told him to be careful not to get sucked into a time vortex. And that just set off a red flag in my brain. Why would she say something like that? And then I'm thinking that he's going to get sucked into a time vortex and he's going to end up in the 90s and he's going to meet up with Captain Marvel. And then at the end of Infinity War when Samuel Jackson, what's his name? Yeah.
Nick Fury.
Thank you. For some reason, his name just escaped me. When he set off the pager to Captain Marvel, it didn't look like a normal pager. It looked like, you know, something that had been, like, invented in the 90s, maybe, and that had been, like, you know, amped up over the years. And we already know that that in Captain Marvel, there's young Nick Fury, young Agent Coulson, and all this stuff, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I think that he's going to go into the 90s, and, you know, that they're going to give that pager, Scott's going to help design this pager. It's going to have some of that quantum energy in it so that it can be a beacon to bring him and Captain Marvel to the future. Because you know how they need that beacon to get back?
Yeah.
I think that that's what that
Ooh,
pager
I like
was.
It.
I think because like pager, you know, I mean, everyone's like, oh, he's just calling Captain Marvel. I think it's for both. I think it's for both of them. And you know, Scott's going to give it to Captain to Nick Fury in the 90s and say, you'll know when to use this.
Yep.
And then,
yep.
and I think that's how we're going to bring Captain Marvel into the next Infinity War movie. So, that's what I think, anyway.
Wow.
That's what I can see, you know, and it does fit with the fact that one of the first promo images for the fourth Avengers movie showed Ant-Man, you know, it's Scott in his Ant-Man gear, and he's talking to Captain America, who's dressed the same way he was dressed in Avengers, you know, giving indications that for some reason Ant-Man is running around the Battle of New York from the first Avengers movie. It's a question of, well, wait a minute, how did he get there? And by the way, there's another interesting thing, though, is so you know, we were talking about Casey and, you know, Casey's superhero career in the comics. One of the castings that appeared in, you know, one of the casting rumors that appeared is that this young actress who's like, you know, 16, 17 years old, that she was playing Casey Lang in her superhero identity as Stature or Stinger. So, you know, maybe, you know, Scott won't like go straight to the 90s. Maybe he'll end up in the future and, you know, he'll run into Casey who will help him out. And then he'll jump over to the Battle of New York. And then maybe from the Battle of New York, he'll end up in the 90s. He'll pick up Captain Marvel. And yeah, they'll set stuff up so they can get back to the modern era. So, you know, I think so far that the Casey Lang casting is still just rumor, but, you know, hopefully it does end up coming out, you know, mounting to something. Because, I mean, that would just make an already, what's already going to be a really cool sequel, like just even just a notch more cooler. I mean, definitely.
Yeah.
That's what I would think. Which, by the way, okay, so last, okay. I'm going to have one last question. This is, of course, directed at my wonderful wife. So, yeah, your first impression was that the name Ant-Man just, that's not a good superhero name, right?
Still not.
Okay. All right. So, but what do you think about the name Stinger?
Stinger?
Stinger, yeah, because that's one of the identities that Casey's used as a size-changing hero.
Better than Ant-Man, not much, but better.
Okay. Well, what about Wasp? Okay, what about Wasp? Because Janet's
Wasp
used it, Hope's used it. You know, in the comics, even Hank Pym used it for a while. So Wasp, yay or nay?
Wasp is better. Because, you know,
okay.
People actually fear Wasp. You know.
Yeah. All right. No, that's okay. What about Hornet?
No, because then you get Green Hornet, and then you get into that crap, and you start thinking about Seth Rogen and that shitty movie.
Okay. Ow. Okay. Yellow Jacket.
That's too long.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Geez. Okay. All right. I got one for you. What about Slaying Mantis?
Oh, that's just bad punning.
Yeah, no.
That was actually used by there's an Ant-Man in the comics that has yet to make his cinematic debut. This guy named Eric O'Grady, who was Ant-Man for a while, like in the early 2000s. And yeah, his original idea for a superhero identity was Slaying Mantis. Yeah, he came up with that himself. Did not stick around. Oh, geez. Okay, what about... Okay, all right. But in DC, there's a size-changing hero named the Atom.
That's all right. It's short and to the point.
Okay. What about Dollman?
No. That's horrible.
Okay, Dollman doesn't work.
That's worse
what about...
than Ant-Man. What are you...
Okay.
Unless it's blow-up Dollman.
Oh man! Oh jeez! Okay, so should I or should I not mention that Dollman had a sidekick named Doll Girl?
I bet there's a porn out there already, right?
Yeah, I'm sure.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I think the character's like too obscure for that. Okay, wait. Okay. What about Dynamite?
Isn't there a character already that shells Dynamite? Or that's from Good Times, right?
That's Good Times. But yeah, there was actually.
That's all it does is make me think of Good Times. It doesn't make me think of a superhero.
Right.
It makes me think of a.
So it makes you think of the projects, not people flying.
Yeah. Basically,
ow.
Sorry.
Oh, jeez, man. I'm trying to think if there are any more size-changing heroes out there, and like what they were. Jeez, what the names were. But that's about all of them that I can. Well, okay. Well, what about the other superhero name that Casey Lang has used, which is Stature?
Not sure I like that much
I don't like
better.
That either.
Stature?
Okay, so you think she should stick with Stinger if she has to choose between the two?
Yeah, if you have to choose between the two.
Okay. All right. But you know what? Okay, so all right. Okay. Oh, wait. Okay. So there's the shrinking hero. Okay, so you know the Legion of Superheroes, the group that's mentioned in Supergirl that I'm obsessed with? All right. There's a size-changing member, and she goes by the name Shrinking Violet. Mm.
Shrinking or shrieking?
Shrinking. Mm. Shrinking Violet. No?
Not really.
That's another one? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I realized
you know
there were some days at Marvel and DC that they were really struggling with what to call a character, and I think they just made up an awful name, and then it stuck, and they forgot to change it before they printed the comic book, and we're stuck with some of the weirdest, strangest superheroes of all time.
Well, no, because here's the thing. I haven't even gotten to the creme de la creme. Okay, the one that I'm sure that I hesitate. Okay, Trish, if you had a problem with Dollman, because see, here's the thing.
No.
So we had a member of the Legion that can shrink, right? There's another member of the Legion that can grow to gigantic size, and his name is Colossal Boy.
Okay, it's bad, but it's not as bad as the other one.
Really? Oh, okay. Oh, really? Real? Okay, because when that name came into my head, I'm like, oh, God. Oh, God, this is going to open up a can of worms. This is just going to open up a...
For some reason, that one does not bother me as much as the other ones, and I don't know why.
Okay, all right. Okay, well, interesting. Interesting.
I mean, I still
don't like it,
but it just doesn't bother
me
as much.
Yeah. I will say this. I would have to double check, but I do think there was a period of time in the 90s where the character instead used the name Leviathan. I don't know. Is that better?
I like Leviathan. But it sounds cool.
Okay. Well, you know what? All right. We've gone through actual names, actual size-changing superhero names. There's one more. There was a villain that has used Hank Dym's growth serum to do like the giant size thing. He was calling himself Goliath. He reformed, and right now his superhero name is Atlas.
Okay, that doesn't strike me as a name for growing, but I like the name.
Okay. Well, you know, Atlas, you know, big enough to hold the world on the shoulders. I think that's what they were going for. Okay. So we got like a few minutes left. Final question. All right, let's start with Trish. Okay, if you were to name a size-changing superhero, what would you use as a name?
Oh. It's a hard one. There you go. It's a hard one.
The chubby.
Oh, jeez. You want me to come back to you before time runs out?
Sure. See if Vicky has a better one.
Oh.
Okay.
See, the problem
is Vicky, I know too many...
tiny people for everything from Thumbelina to all the really bad names you've just mentioned. And I'm going to be honest, I'm not sure that there is a good nickname to call a superhero who either gets really tall or really tiny. A, it's either going to be very inappropriate,
mm-hmm.
possibly very funny, and I don't know if anyone will take me seriously. And I'm only 4'11", so dear God, I can't shrink anymore.
Huh. Yeah. Well, it could be worse. Could be worse.
Sequoia.
The character could be called Shrinkage.
Sequoia. The Sequoia.
Ooh, I like Sequoia.
Ooh. Ooh, nice.
Damn, good one.
That's a good one. Yeah. Or, well, oh shit, no, No, no. Because the name Redwood came into my head, but it's like, yeah, no. Yeah, because Redwood, it's like, uh-uh. Doors open. Doors open. Jokes can sew. Yeah. But Sequoia, that's a good one. That's a good one. No.
I like that one.
Sequoia's, which one? Redwood?
Or no, Sequoia.
Sequoia. Yeah, oh, yeah. No,
I like it too. It sounds majestic.
Oh, yeah.
And
yep.
Except for when you start doing the Redwood jokes, it lend itself easily to the inappropriate jokes that we're known to have with superhero names.
Yep. Yep. But yeah. Yeah. Well, God, on that happy note. So yeah, next week. Well, next week. All right. So next week's episode, it's going to be a very special episode because yeah, next week it's going to wrap up the month. And, yeah, all I got to say is you will want to tune in to the end of the episode because there's some big news coming. But as for the meat of the episode, yeah, there was some, I think, Trish, were you the one who said franchise fatigue earlier?
I did.
Yeah, okay, so yeah. Trish mentioned the word franchise fatigue, and yeah, I did the cute little coughing thing where I went, foreshadow. Because, yeah, that is actually what we're going to be talking about next week. It kind of started off, I wanted to do an episode where I was going to yell at James Cameron for his comments about Wonder Woman, you know, and about, something original out there. Why can't they have anything original? You know, I was going to make that the meat of the episode, but as Trish and I were brainstorming, we thought, you know what, why don't we just, instead of, you know, spending all that time on this one thing, let's branch out. And we thought, yeah, we're going to talk franchise fatigue. So we're going to take a look at some franchises, including Terminator and Avatar. So yeah, you're not off the hook, Cameron. You and your fucking space fern gully bullshit. Yeah, we're gonna be looking at you on that one. So yeah, we're gonna look at quite a few franchises and just say, hey, is it time to end it, or is there still some life left in it? So you know, we'll be talking a little bit about that. And yeah, I know that there's another elephant in the room. You know, based off stuff that happened yesterday. You know, with James Gunn, we might be talking a little bit about that. You know, as we weave our discussion of franchise fatigue, you are just going to have to tune in and see. But yeah, that's next week. That is definitely next week. So you know what? This has not been a small conversation, to say the least. You know, I think we've been discussing a lot of big ideas. You know, that's about the size of it. So yeah, I think definitely on that note, this has been your host, Eduardo M. Fryer, larger than life. And, yep, I have my my wonderful little wife.
Patricia Fryer.
Yep. And, of course, our big guest. Oh, Victoria, are you still there?
Yeah, I think I just had a technology blip.
Oh, dear. Well, a tiny technology blip. But,
tiny
yeah,
technology
remember,
blip.
Yep. Remember, just keep it reels. And, should I go sit in the corner for all the size-related puns I just did right now?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I should go sit in the corner. You know what? I'm not going to go sit in the corner. The hell with it. Nope. Not taking it back. This is a big deal to do this. Not taking it back. And we're out.
Really
wow,
cool.
That was good. Thank you for coming on, Victoria. That was great.
Absolutely.
That was great.
I had so much fun with you guys. I like you guys.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? yeah, we're going to be switching to like a recorded format.
Okay.
It is probably going to be done like the same way that the Disneyverse podcast is done.
Okay.
You know, Trish and I are just going to have to sit with Michael Beck and find out like how to do all this stuff. But yeah, we're going to be starting that up like around, you know, in August. So, but definitely I want to have you back. Most definitely.
I'd love
you know,
to
you're
come back. I like I said, I have fun with you guys.
Oh yeah. And you know what? You're fun to have on. I mean, definitely. I'm one of the things I'm doing is I'm making a list of like people that definitely want to come back and, you know, just do more of these things
You
know, especially once we get the new format. And you're at the top because that is just so cool.
Especially. That's sweet.
And definitely. You know what? Something that I have to. Victoria, have you ever heard of a comic that was called Champions of Los Angeles? This was like done in the 70s.
Champions of Los Angeles. It doesn't sound familiar.
Yeah.
Although we had some weird ones in the 70s, and
to
deny a lot of the 70s.
I was born in 76, so I was too young for a lot of that. I just discovered afterwards, and I was like, oh, thank God I was focusing more on Sesame Street. But yeah, because no, there was a Marvel comic, and it was like three members of the X-Men, Black Widow, Ghost Rider, Hercules, like all forming a superhero group based out of L.A., and they called it the Champions of Los Angeles. And
oh my God, I'm looking at it online. Wow.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Because Bill Foster and his identity as Black Goliath kind of allied with the group, especially because in his like non-super identity, he helped them out with their tech. But there is one issue of the series where they have to battle a villain. And by the way, this is one that I did not include. Although I don't know if he would have. I don't know because yeah, there's a villain called the Stilt Man.
That one's just a little on the stupid side.
Yeah.
That's not
that's
even
the
funny.
Thing.
Like, seriously, that's lazy.
Oh, no. I haven't even gotten to the best part here, okay? I haven't even gotten to the fun part because he was a villain. You know, he was a Marvel villain. I think he started off as a villain for Daredevil, of all people. But basically, he had a suit of armor, and it actually had a telescoping leg type of deal. So, yeah, it was Stilt Man. Here's the thing. He fought the champions, and at one point, Black Goliath basically broke off one of the stilts and beat him up with it.
No.
So yeah,
oh,
in
no.
this comic, we had a villain named Stilt Man who ended up getting the living daylight beaten out of him with one of his own stilts. It's like, is that not like something you want to just leave off the resume or what?
Yes.
It's like, what happened to you? How'd the champions beat you? Well, Black Goliath ripped off one of my stilts and beat me with it. It's like, whoa, dude. What the hell, man? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Hey, they used to fight Godzilla.
I'm not
kidding.
Funny. You
Some
make...
of their menaces included Stilt Man, Professor, The Professor, Swarm, Godzilla, MODOK, AIM, Typhoon, Magneto, Dr. Doom, The Blob, The Savage Land, Eunice, really? Wow.
What?
Yeah, they fought someone called UNUS.
Oh, Eunice the Untouchable.
I don't even remember that. Oh!
Eunice the Untouchable. A mutant with a force field, but then it kept...
We definitely had a few moments in comic books where we weren't trying that hard.
Oh, okay. Vicky? Okay.
Yeah.
I can actually top them all. I can top them all right now. This is a real character. Okay, a real character. I'm not kidding. All right, this is not a joke. The group, the Defenders, fought a character named Tapping Tommy.
I'm sorry,
no
Tapping
joke.
Tommy?
Tapping Tommy. Okay, he's someone who, like, you know, trained himself in, like, you know, chorus line, you know, that kind of style dancing, and turned into a supervillain.
Was he supposed to be Tommy Toon, who was a Broadway star at the same time?
I don't...
Oh, my God, I'm sitting here looking at these pictures. It looks like a bad magician gone wrong.
Uh-huh. Oh, no. Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing, though, Vicky, okay? Because here's the thing, okay? Not only – all right. The other thing is that he – okay. So he had robots. He had, like, robot like, chorus line dancers. Okay? That's what he used to, like, to attack the good guys. And then to top it off, so you had the character of Valkyrie. And at the time, she kind of had this weird psychological thing where she could not fight a fellow woman. So when we had, like, the robot chorus girls hitting Valkyrie, she's like, I don't know what to do because I can't fight these people because, I can't fight these robots because they look like women. And it's like, oh, I'm like, oh, good grief. Oh, wow.
Oh, this is not a good one. No.
I just like, hashtag can't even. As far as I know, Tapping Amen. Tommy appeared once and has been, like, in like, the land of obscurity. So, I mean, I have no clue.
He tap dances from place to place. Excuse me?
Yeah,
oh, my God. In 1975. I mean, I kind of know it was in 1975.
You know what?
But,
you can't even blame me on that one because I wasn't even like I wasn't even alive in 75. So
you
like,
weren't even a zygote
yep, that
yet.
Wasn't me. Oh, jeez.
Oh,
although
no,
actually no,
there are definitely
you know what,
days
here, okay.
that no.
Listen, okay, listen. Right, you're gonna have you're probably gonna have to write this down, okay? Because
okay,
go all right. Track down. There are two issues of Howard the Duck that parody
yeah.
Star Wars. Okay, the parody Star
yeah,
Wars.
Yeah, I remember
those. It's called, yeah, the star. I think it's called WAG because it's like WAAGUH or something. I don't know. You know what? If I find the exact issue numbers, I'll message it to you because you got to read those because it's just if you want to talk about
Howard the Duck number
22
from March 1978.
It's 22 and 23 because it was like two parts.
Yes. Oh, look at that
it was like
eBay
two
right
issues.
Now.
It was like 21. It was like 21 or 22 or 22 or 23. I know that the
I think it's
the 22, first...
23. Yeah.
Okay, because I think the one that has the parody cover is like the second issue of it. Like the second issue, because it's two stories, and the second issue, the cover actually parodies like the poster to Star Wars. But yeah, you got to read that because that is one of the things of what the fuck are you smoking? Like, stop smoking it. You got a bad batch. Stop. I mean, it's hilarious as hell. Like, I've read the story like two or three times, and I'm just on the floor just laughing my head off, but I'm like, somebody smoke something serious. Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, listen, I got to go.
I
have to go.
Okay.
But are you free next Saturday? Because I would love for you to be on the show.
I think. Let me double check.
Okay.
Because it's my husband's birthday, but we're not doing anything that day. So.
Oh, happy birthday. Happy birthday to him. How old?
Yeah, I think he actually has a gig. He will be 49.
Ooh.
But he has a gig. I think he has a gig that day. So I think
okay.
It'll be just fine.
Okay,
he does
so,
sound
so what,
for
Route
66, the band.
Oh, nice. But, here, do me a favor. So you have an invite.
Yeah.
You have an invite to come on.
Thank you.
Just double check for me. Let me know Let me know by next Thursday if you can be on. Because if you can be on, I'd love it. I would just absolutely
love it.
You got
it. No problem. Yeah. I'll double check with what's going on that weekend, and because usually we go out on Friday night, so I will confirm that
okay.
It's still the case.
All right. Cool. But hey, if you guys are ever free on the evening, you should head down to Jimmy B's Bar and Grill because I'll be hosting trivia night.
Oh, cool. That might be fun.
Yep. Okay. So yeah, it's Jimmy B's
okay.
Jimmy B's Bar and Grill. It's on Peckham. It's that shopping center where Reno Old Town Mall is.
Oh yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Okay.
Cool.
So if you're free at 7 o'clock on
okay.
On Thursday, come on by.
7 o'clock on Thursday. Okay.
Yep. 7
cool.
p.m. Not a.m.
At 7 a.m., I'm usually in a meeting, unfortunately.
Well, 7 a.m.,
yeah.
I'm, like, walking my way to work, walking my way to school, school year. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
like,
yeah,
heading
out
the door.
I'll get back to you on next weekend.
Okay, cool.
Cool.
Just
okay.
Let me know
thank
as soon
you,
as
guys.
Possible.
Yeah.
Oh, no, thank you.
Cool.
Thank you. It was a blast.
I'll talk to you on Monday, Vicki.
Oh, yes.
Disneyland history. Hmm. Yay.
Yep.
Yay!
And I'll see you downstairs in a couple of minutes. Okay, Trish. All right.
Bye, guys.
Shutting things off.
Bye, guys.
Okay, I'm shutting things off now.
Bye.